Backstage with Mothership on Solid Rock Radio begins now. Hear the best in new music, artist interviews, stories from the road, and more. You are now backstage, and here's your host, Mothership.
Hey, everybody. I have an interesting guest this week. Randy Rose has been making Christian music since the 80s, and he is not done yet.
Hey, you must be Randy Rose.
Yes. Hello, Mothership. Hello, Cindy. How are you?
Doing fine. Thank you. Some of our older listeners are going to know who you are when they find out the band you were in back in the day.
Well, I used to be in a band called Mad at the World from the 80s. I think we got signed when we were 85, and our first record came out in 1986. So out in the Orange County area, and that's where the Christian music scene was huge out there. And we were really into the movement, kind of like the alternative Christian music movement. I'm not sure if you're familiar with the radio station KROQ in California, but they broke a lot of artists like, you know, Depeche Mode, Oingo Boingo, a lot of bands that were really, really popular. And we kind of wanted to be a Christian alternative to all that alternative music out there. So that's kind of where I started. And I was only 14 when we got signed. So I was a youngster.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. And so your brother Roger and you both started that together, correct?
Yes, correct. My brother's 13 years older than me.
Okay. And then how long did that go on?
It went on for quite some time. I think we have about 8 or 9 studio albums, you know, not counting like a re-release and all that kind of stuff. But it went on until probably 98, somewhere around, you know, very early 2000, I think was some of our last stuff there. You know, it's been a while, but we had a lot of stuff, you know, from the 80s onto there. And I've continued doing music since then, but yeah.
Now, were you vocals or drums or what were you?
Well, in Mad at the World, we started out as a techno band. So I did like the drums programming and percussion. And I also
like
did
an 808 or something.
I did like an 808 and I had drum triggers actually. So I triggered a bunch of like samples, kind of like how Depeche Mode did. So I triggered backup vocals and I sung some of the vocals, but you know, me and Roger's the primary songwriter, and I kind of did some supplemental songwriting. And then as we grew as a band, I got more and more involved in stuff. But we've been doing music together since I was literally like 5 or 6 years old. He taught me to play drums, so we just grew up playing music together in my studio that my dad built for us, so in Orange County.
That is crazy. Now, I was not into the Christian music scene,
especially heavy music, till much later.
Probably would have to go to the 90s.
Okay.
But I do remember the name of that band. I remember hearing about it. When I was contacted about you, I was like, gosh, that just triggers a memory.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
but you're doing music now, but it's a little bit different. Tell us a little bit about what's going on.
Yeah, well, actually, after close to the end of the Mad at the World, you know, run of our career, I got signed as Randy Rose doing some real heavy, kind of dark, kind of gothic, kind of Danzig, Black Sabbath kind of sounding type stuff. Under my name, Randy Rose, the first record was called Sacrificium. So it was very, very heavy, very dark. But the thing is, I was like a huge Christian music fan and I kind of grew up a believer. So it was really important to me to like not get infested by a lot of the stuff in the world, you know? So I realized there's some bands I loved out there, the music. I love the sound, I love the vocals, and I couldn't stand the lyrics. It was just gross and offensive to me. So I figured, hey, I'm a Christian. I've been a Christian my whole life, and I'm listening to stuff I shouldn't listen to. I wanted to give an alternative, you know? I wanted to kind of provide an alternative to some of the darkest music out there. So that's kind of where I started, you know, doing Randy Rose. And then it became Rose shortly thereafter as an actual band when we started playing some live stuff. But we were signed to Frontline, did 2 or 3 different albums with them. And then now I'm doing a bunch of stuff independently. And I just got signed to Behold Records, which is Josh Spencer's new label. And that's going to be a real big thing. And that's what the new record's from, The Masquerade. But I never stopped doing music. I've just been recording and writing. And, you know, still doing it, you know.
Still going.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's interesting, you know, me being on the East Coast and you being on the West Coast. It seems like there's almost like we don't know what each other's doing.
Sure. No, absolutely.
You know, it's like even today, even with the internet, it's like there are a lot of people that I never met that are West Coasters because they're just not over here. They don't tour this direction, that sort of thing. Have you been doing some touring?
You know, I haven't toured in over 20 years.
Wow.
Basically, soon as I got married and had kids, I didn't want to be on the road and stuff like that. At least that's the excuse I use, but it's true. But I'll tell you this, I do want to tour with, you know, I've done two records in the last 4 years, Songs for the Three Abused. That was independent on my record label, Hindenburg Records. And, of course, The Masquerade, which is the newest release, which just dropped probably, you know, probably 6 or 8 weeks ago. And I definitely want to tour with that material. I want to get the band together and start going on the road, because now I'm pretty much doing music exclusively. That is my job. That's all I do. So it's like really important that it happens. So I realize a big part of that is, you know, getting on the road again and starting to tour. So that's going to be a new thing. So yes, I will be, but I haven't in years.
Okay. And tell me again, what was the name of the band?
Well, it's Randy Rose, or it'll go as Rose. I'm not sure. I'm signed as Randy Rose to Hold Records. So it'll just be Rose or Randy Rose, my band. But the two records that I'll be supporting, well, actually, I'll be doing all my whole career. I'll be doing everything from Sacrificium to Into the Unknown, Healing. The album 4 years ago was Songs for the Ritually Abused. That's a real heavy album. And then, of course, the new one, which is The Masquerade. So I'll be playing the whole catalog. I might even throw some Mad at the World stuff in there, some of the heavier stuff, too.
Oh, that would be cool for some folks.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you say you were a believer for your entire life. What kind of a background do you have? And tell us about your faith story.
Okay, yeah. Well, my mom was a traveling evangelist. She and her other three or four sisters, she played stand-up bass and sung. My aunt played accordion, and the other one just sang. They had a little quartet, and they sang together, and they toured in a bus. They literally lived out of a bus and did ministry and, like, you know, revival meetings, you know, in the 50s, in the early 60s, you know, a lot. And they were just kids. I mean, there's the kids band, but my aunt would do the preaching. My mom would do some of the singing and play a big, huge stand-up bass. It was literally, like, taller than her. So they're traveling evangelists. It was like God put that in me at an early age. And luckily, and my dad is just a drag racing hot rodder. So he was just married my mom, and he didn't have any musical gifts, but he had a bunch of other gifts. He was real supportive, you know, for us doing music. So as soon as I could understand, you know, who Jesus was, I met him really early at Calvary Chapel. I actually got saved at a concert out in Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa. They did Saturday night outreach ministry stuff, and you know, really, they did it forever. They did it from the late 60s all the way to the, even early 90s still. But they had a concert there, and I was probably, I couldn't have been more than, you know, 9, 8, 9, 10 years old. But, man, I could feel the presence of God at that age, and I was just weeping, just bawling my eyes out like I was a murderer, you know? It was amazing. But it was wonderful. And it literally changed my life from that point on. I mean, luckily I was raised in a Christian family, so I didn't really feel like I had to wander and do like a bunch of crazy stuff. Now, I dressed wild and I played wild music. If you looked at me, you would think I'm a complete freak. And I got beat up in high school because of the way I looked, but that's a whole different story. But as far as my heart and who I am and what I did, you know, I've always loved Jesus. I mean, I realized he is the author and finisher of my faith. He's my breath. He's the only reason I have any kind of gifts. It's all him in any which way. So I always wanted to try to glorify him in everything I did. So music was a natural thing because I grew up with two other brothers that played music. Roger played drums and guitar, and my oldest brother played bass, drums, and guitar as well. So, I mean, I grew up in such a musical family. I could not do it, put it that way. It was just something God wanted me to do. You know, it was all around me.
Yeah. So were your folks part of, like, the Jesus Revolution?
No, they absolutely not. They weren't. They were old, you know, Pentecostal.
Old school. Okay.
Yeah, they're very old school. So they were, you know, they probably didn't even necessarily like that style of music, but they loved the message, you know. And they were just super supportive when we got into music. You know, they didn't understand Mad at the World doing this weird techno electronica stuff. It was crazy. What is that stuff, you know? But they knew we, you know, were using our gifts for God. And they knew it was something that the Lord put on our hearts. So they were super supportive. But no, they didn't like that style of music. They were definitely old school, you know.
Okay. Well, that's unusual then, that they would embrace what you did.
Yeah. Well, I think it's because we were good kids. No, I'm kidding. it was just because, you know, my mom did it. She knew what it was like to, you know, grow up and live out of a bus and, you know, play and sing and tell people about Jesus. So it was just when she saw us do it, she said, oh, okay, I get it. It's jumping from me to them, you know?
Yeah. Very much so. Now, you had a band called Mothership. So obviously you're awesome.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. We got that in common, Mothership.
There you go.
Yeah, that was an independent release I did on my record label, Hindenburg Records. And that was kind of an alternative, kind of like Phantom Planet or Weezer. Kind of an early 2000s type thing, and I recorded that in the high desert part of California before we moved out to Texas. We just moved back to California after living in Texas for like 18 years. So I've only been here for like 4 weeks. So I'm just kind of new here again. It's been a long time. My father passed. So it, it brought us, yeah, it brought us back to California. We're living in that house now. So that's where I moved my studio, and that's where we are until, you know, God tells us where to go next.
How have your goals changed since your Mad at the World days?
Well, my goals really changed once I started doing my independent music and realizing that, you know, there's still an audience and a remnant of people that still wanted it. You know, I didn't do music for a long, long time, and Facebook came out. And, you know, as soon as I got a Facebook page, I had all these tons of Facebook requests of these people. And I thought I was just, you know, done and forgotten. In other words, I was still recording music, but I wasn't doing it, you know, like actively. I worked at a home daycare with my wife. We worked together, you know, teaching kids for years and years and years. And then I realized with the response of these fans, you know, they still wanted to hear from us. So like, oh, okay, well, I'm doing that as a hobby. I may as well, you know, do it for real. So I started, you know, putting some demos together, and I said, you know, well, I want to do the record the way I want to do it. So I put it out independently, and that's where I started doing songs for Richly Abused, and we did, you know, a Kickstarter campaign to do that.
Yeah.
That was a whole new thing. I mean, because I'm, you know, I'm not a businessman. I'm an artist and a Christian, so it was kind of hard, you know, getting that going and having people believe in you and supporting you. But they were wonderful. The fans kind of brought me back, is really what it was. You know, they wanted to hear more, and I had a lot more to give. So now I've gotten so dependent on that that's really what I'm going to do. I mean, unless the Lord does something different for me, it's going to be music. You know, God's going to, he's going to make this happen again. So it's my thing again.
Another artist proving that once you're a creative, you can't stop.
No, it never goes away. It's really hard. I mean, it's honestly, it's like speaking this language you spoke your whole entire life, that where God speaks right through you, you know. And if you try to, you know, you can, you know, as we know, we can deny God a lot of things. We can lock up a lot of gifts. But, you know, we're not happy. We're not healthy. We're not reaching people. And ultimately, we're just really not living, because that's kind of what we're designed to do. We're designed to do what God would have us do. And he uniquely gets us, you know, for a bunch of different things. But there's these certain things that's just like breathing. It's just natural. I mean, I don't, like, honestly, I don't have to try to do music, to write music. It just flows for me, and I can't stop it. Usually it comes from heartbreak or being offended about something in the world. And that just drives me crazy. And the Lord just says, okay, this is the way you're going to, you know, relate to that or express it. And it just comes, and I just can't stop it. I don't want to get bitter about it. I'll just write it into my words.
There you go.
Express it in my music, you know?
What if music was removed from the world? How would you feel?
Wow, that's a good one. It kind of goes back to what I was saying about oxygen. It'd be like living on some other form of oxygen. I wouldn't even know how to breathe, really. Mm-hmm. I mean, it doesn't change who God is. So I would have to assume if music is gone, that God had something to do with it. And in that case, you know, we have to work that out in heaven. But I mean, I couldn't imagine it, because I mean, it is such an expression of our spirit, you know, of our soul and who we really are. It's history. It shares pain. It shares struggles. At least in my lyrical content, I have a really kind of a unique setup as far as, you know, the people that God has put in my life. I've ran into a lot of really brokenhearted and abused people that have gone through unmentionable stuff. So God's given me a big heart for that. So that's why my music and my lyrics, you know, if you're really familiar with them, they're very, very odd. They're very, you know, crazy. And the topics are just, they're just as bad as anything Mad at the World ever wrote. But times about 10, you know, but I mean, yes. it's just because the content, you know, there's just no way to talk about, you know, sexual abuse without talking about sexual abuse. You know, it's just one of those things, or ritual abuse. That's, God just put that on my heart. So I have a unique ministry. And that's the other reason why I kind of stick to a heavier, darker sound of music. You know, I want to reach those people and have an alternative to, you know, what the devil's offering ultimately.
What's one of your favorite lyrics from the most recent music?
I like the song, Padlock My Heart. It says, I'll padlock my heart to keep you out and just stay out. Ultimately, it's about, you know, how God, you know, honors our free will. And a lot of times what we'll do is we'll lock ourselves in such a box that we will absolutely, just because we don't want to feel and we don't want to relate, we'll completely lock God out of it. And he's like crying, knocking. You know, he's a gentleman. So he like never just barges in. He'll be a still small voice, or he'll be knocking on our heart. And we've locked it so hard that we just don't even want to hear him. Because if we hear him, you know, something in our spirit has to answer. You know, we have to really realize, hey, this is either for real you know, he's crazy, or he's, or it's just a joke. And of course he's for real. And that's the thing. So I kind of like that idea about, God even allowing us, to exist in a rebellion is such a form of love. I mean, think about that, really. I mean, as parents, we kind of know that when our kids do something crazy and bite another kid or whatever we do, we stand up for them. And God is literally doing that all day. Jesus is doing that all day long to the Father in our behalf because he loves us. So, I mean, even in our misery and our rebellion and our sassiness, God is saying, I love you, and man, just hold on. We're almost over that mountain, So that Padlock My Heart is kind of one of my favorite songs on the record. It just shows God's love, even though we lock him out, still comes barreling through.
We talked about how your genre has changed over the years.
Yes.
Where have you landed? You say it's dark still, but Where have you landed in the way of genre so people know what you're talking about?
Okay. The Masquerade, the new record, is a kind of a combination between 70s, Black Sabbath, with a little mixture of Queens of the Stone Age in there, melodic, like some of the 70s Queen stuff, has a taste of kind of a vampire rock thing like Danzig or Samhain or the Misfits might have. So it's very, they call it stoner rock, a lot of it. A lot of the music where you have the real heavy detuned guitars and heavy, halftime beats with riffs. The difference, I guess, of my music is I wrote the album a cappella. I write my songs. At least I wrote this whole album. There's a lot of songs on this record. Actually, it's a big release. There's actually two CDs worth if you get the demo CD. It's a lot of material. And I wrote it literally on one of those just little handheld tape recorders. So basically, I would get a lyrical idea or a melody and I'd say it into there. And that's what was kind of cool because ultimately I would write the riffs, for the voice. So that was kind of different. Normally I would sit down and write a heavy riff and some chord changes and throw some vocals on there. But this was written differently. It was written where it had to be memorable and something I could actually sing, to be able to remember it and record it and then write the words around it and write the song structure around it. So it's very melodic, even though it's super heavy and dark, So it's a mixture of all those bands, with a message of hope, talking about all the most despairing issues that you could ever imagine, basically.
I heard the one single, I guess, was it Masquerade?
Yeah, the Masquerade, uh-huh, yeah.
Yeah, 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 I got that 70s vibe.
Oh, yeah,
I grew up in the 70s. So, I got the 70s vibe, and I was like, oh, it's kind of a little bit of a throwback, but it's fresh, yeah. Too. Yeah,
yeah, absolutely, absolutely. That is a big influence on me, because, mm-hmm. Roger, being 13 years older, when I was a little tiny kid and wanting to listen to Romper Room, he's going to kill me for saying this, but, he didn't always listen to Christian music, so he would listen to some Sweet Comfort and the Archers, and then also get some Black Sabbath in there. So, in Kansas.
Oh, man, Sweet Comfort. I forgot about that.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Yeah, that's something we grew up on, that stuff. We love that, But, yeah, so, I was exposed to some real heavy, crazy music at an early age, Mm-hmm. So it's where my roots are.
So your brother really influenced your direction.
Yeah, oh, big time. Yeah, both of my brothers did, musically. But Roger was the one that kind of, taught me what I know, and I went from there,
What is he doing?
He is still happily a mailman, and he is still writing.
Really?
He is still writing. We're actually going to be doing a Kickstarter campaign for the second of the three releases for a new Matt of the World record. So I would be saying look for that in the next probably 2 to 3 months. As far as a Kickstarter release, it'll take us, a couple months to record it. We have material that's pretty much ready to go. We decided to do this Matt of the World Kickstarter thing where we're going to honor kind of the three stages of our music. So the first one, which was Hope, I don't know if you've heard that record, it was about probably 5 years ago. And it's kind of a techno, it's kind of like the first two records that we did. And we, promised the Kickstarters, that we're going to do another two records, and the middle one is going to be more like The Cult and kind of our rock, our live stage setup where I was back on drums again, and I did some rock and roll vocals, and Roger's doing, some screaming vocals and stuff like that. And the last one, I think, is going to be complete full-out rock and roll. So it's going to be kind of a middle stage of Mad at the World for this next record, and then the very last record we do with Mad at the World, the last Kickstarter, will be very, very heavy, kind of some of the heaviest stuff you've heard us do.
I'll be checking that out.
That is on the horizon, so be looking for that.
I saw something on your Facebook page about a podcast. Are you appearing on one? Or are you starting a podcast?
I've been on a couple different podcasts. I will say that I would like to. by the simple fact that I didn't get my microphone working for you, Mothership, kind of scares me. I'm a recording engineer. I've been doing it for literally like 30 years or more, and I can't get the microphone working on Skype. I don't get it.
We're just going to blame Skype for that.
But other than that, yeah, I think I might do that because, you know, when I get caught up with my music, I'm actually working on another Randy Rose album right now. Just as soon as I finished The Masquerade, which was like a 4-year nightmare, I had like so much death in the family, so much sickness. It was just a literal miracle of God that we finished it. So I was so happy to get that done. But the second that was done, I started working with Behold Industries, and I'm doing a brand new record with them right now. So I'm actually, if I may say, probably about 80% done with that. So there's going to be another Randy Rose release coming out shortly too. I'm not too short, because I don't want to chase down the Masquerade, because that's actually my very favorite record. You know, I've done this new one.
I really liked it, what I heard.
Thank you. Yeah, I like it. It's definitely the truest representation of me, I think, that I've done on any of my records, you know. But this next one is going to be, it's real heavy. It's going to be, if the people that liked my first record, it was more like Danzig and stuff, they'll love the new Randy Rose record. That's what that's going to be, you know. So I have a lot of stuff ahead of me. I got a record to finish with Behold for Randy Rose, and then we're going to move over to the Kickstarter for Mad at the World, and then hopefully I'll start touring. And then if I can breathe after that and I'm still alive and well, and I can get my microphone working for any kind of podcast, I will start one, because I would love to do that, honestly. That would be something really cool. Love to talk to some fellow artists and, you know, and spread the word, you know.
You mentioned your family having a lot of loss, and our family has also had a lot of loss. How did that affect your writing?
Oh, it really affected my writing. I lost my mom and my dad, several cousins and aunts and good friends to COVID. My mom died just of natural causes. My dad, just like I said, he died 6 months ago, and that's kind of why I'm even out here in California. So they both died during the making of this record. Didn't even get to hear it finished, which really breaks my heart. But I just had so much death, and I had so much sickness. I mean, honestly, I have had asthma really, really, really bad, and I got so sick, even pre-COVID, that I was just using my breathing treatments all the time, and I had like heart issues. It was just horrible. I mean, seriously, the Lord completely sustained me and got me through this record. So that, and the fact that I was literally obligated to finish this record no matter how much trauma I went through, you know, I owed it to, you know, the Kickstarting people, you know, that paid for this. And, you know, a record shouldn't take 4 years to do. I mean, of course, if you're Queen or someone like that, they did it all the time. But I'm not Queen. So it was kind of hard to be transparent about what was happening in my life and why all these delays. But I mean, you know, I lost a bunch of my recording equipment. They got blown up. I mean, just literally, like, I got an old vintage mixer to do this record on, and it literally, like, went up in smoke the second week I started this record. So,
oh, no.
Yeah, and I had to trade a ton of equipment to even get that. So it was kind of like starting over. It was a really, really rough record to do it. But all the trauma and the loss that I've done, ultimately, I was able to pour that into the lyrics. And to me, it was some of the hardest lyrics that I've written, because I realized I was real disappointed in myself, to be honest with you. And I, you know, kind of like I said, you know, a disobedient kid, you know, God really, really loves us. And by his love and his righteousness, I was just so convicted by, you know, just allowing myself to be so beat up, you know, I mean, because basically kind of, I'm not sure, you know what it's like with artists. Sometimes, you know, when we get hurt or broken or we get lost, you know, some of us just go right to writing and our tour and hit it out that way. And some of us just totally go inward and just like shut down and go on like YouTube binges, you know, and just watch, you know, cat and dog videos or something. You know, just to numb the pain. And I was doing that. I was just so ashamed how long this record was taking. And there was so much loss going on around me, you know, that I didn't know.
Paralyzing.
It was paralyzing. And I didn't even know how to post about it. I mean, not everybody, you know, just gets completely transparent about all these humiliating things that happen in their life. But I kind of had to, and I'm kind of having to right now, just because I want people to understand that, hey, I was here for this record. I just have a lot of stuff going on. I'm back. The record's out. And, you know, I'm here to stay now. But, I mean, it was a lot of loss, and it really heavily affected my lyrics. You know, it affected me in a way where I realized how great God's grace was, much greater than I ever thought it was. You know, it had nothing to do with me pleasing him for him to be pleased, which was a crazy thing to get over. you know, that kind of breaks all the religious spirit stuff where you're just literally having to, you know, build this perfect offering for God, and then we're finally worthy. I mean, we are worthy with a needle in our arm because Jesus is worthy. He's the one that made us worthy. So it's not about all that garbage that we do and do not do. Now, obviously, we should live out of holiness, but that's just because of our love for him. You know, I realized how relational Christ's love was, you know, for us, and specifically for me, because, I mean, you know, your world gets real small when you're hurt. Unfortunately, it shouldn't. That should be the time that you're reaching out. But, man, my world got really, really, really small because I was just so ashamed of being so affected by brokenness, to be honest with you. But, you know, I was able to put it out in my lyrics, and, you know, God gets the glory for it, and it turned out to be, like I said, I think the best record I've ever done. So I thank God, you know, for it. I don't like the trauma. I don't thank for the experience, but I'm glad I'm out of it and I have learned a lot from it, you know?
Yeah. Sometimes during those dark times, just surviving is all that you can do.
Yeah. That's exactly
just
where I was
staying
at.
Here and being here.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
Is pretty much all you got.
Yeah.
There's no shame in that time where you just have to survive.
Getting through it. You're right. No, I mean, just making it to recover, making it out of that season of darkness, the season of pain, to start to get in the sunlight again. It feels good, you know?
Yeah.
And it's, you know, I've been there, and that's kind of what's inspired me to do music full time like I'm doing now. Cause it's scary. I mean, you know, the music industry is gone to the devil. I mean, we know that I'm saying that as a joke, but I'm saying it literally. The music industry is just gone. I mean, you know, I mean, people aren't buying
it's so records
different. Like they used to. It's so different. There's not youth groups doing concerts anymore. There's not near as many festivals there used to be. So it's just hard. And then hear me saying, now I'm going to make it on music. Now the whole scene is shot and gone. But, you know,
that's no music scene. Well, here you know, I am.
Yeah, I'll create the scene, I guess, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's where I'm at. I'm completely depending on God to open all those doors, you know. And you're one of them. I appreciate you having me on here, you know.
Oh, glad to do it.
Back to the grief, the empathy that you have when you've been through some of the same things, and the way it changes your worldview.
Yeah.
And in a way it gives you, well, you get bitter or you get better, but
yeah,
I think it has made me more kind.
Yeah, it has me too, because I realized how I want
short
to be
life
treated.
Is.
Yeah, how short life is, and how when we're broken, how we should be treated, you know, with love and comfort. And, you know, sometimes we don't get that, you know, like we should.
I do feel where you are.
Thank you.
Because that's a tough journey.
It is. It's rough. And it really never leaves you. I mean, it's something
grief never ends. No. It only changes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, before you go,
I usually ask people what their favorite road snacks are, but you hadn't been on the road in years.
I have not.
But what is your favorite snack?
My favorite snack would be, like, on the road snack would be like Whoppers. I love, you know.
You're a Whopper guy. I love Whoppers.
I love the malted, you know, milk, because I love chocolate malt, so I love that.
Yeah.
But as far as my favorite candy of all time, it would be Bardot's at See's Candy.
Never heard of that.
Oh, See's Candy is ridiculous. You should order it online and get a Bardot bar. Bardot bar, yeah.
Okay.
Really good. Really
all right,
good.
So we'll have that in the back of our head. So when you go out and start touring, we'll know what we need to get you.
Absolutely. That'll be in my writer. You know, I'll have that in the green room.
Okay.
Otherwise, I'm not doing it. I'm kidding.
Okay.
So how can people find you and your music?
You can find me and follow me on Facebook or Instagram. And also, randyrose.info is my website. So you can get the record there, or it'll bring you to Bandcamp or YouTube. It's available everywhere now. So you just support the Christian community mostly. Just honestly, just get out there and try to get, you know, concerts going again. That's what we really need to do. That's a big thing we need.
Okay. Well, Randy, there's going to be a blog landing page on the Solid Rock Radio website that will have all those links
so
people can find them.
Okay, thank
you. I hope to meet you one day.
Yeah, you will. I'll see you on the road. Where what city are you coming out of? Where are you?
I'm real close to Atlanta.
Okay.
I'm gonna let you go, man. And thanks
for
doing this. And hopefully, some people go, who is this? And
I hope so
check
too.
You out.
I appreciate you. Thank you, Mothership. God bless you.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening. Stay tuned for more great music and check out my blog page on the Solid Rock Radio website for my guests' social media links. If you've missed any of my past interviews, you can find them uploaded to podcast.solidrockradio.org. Have a wonderful week, and let's be kind to one another.